1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm starting at verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Thank you, Lucy. I'm Chris Reveley, the pastor, and it's a great thrill every so often to be given the responsibility of choosing what we're going to talk about. Usually in this church, as you know, we preach through passages of the Bible in a consistent fashion. But this one on the agenda says pastor's pick. So you're getting what I want to talk about today. But I pray that this may actually be what God wants to talk about today and may speak to us all. Keep your Bible open if you've got it at that place. I just want to paint you a picture of that passage we were read to us just now. Listen, I tell you a mystery. And that builds up and up and up to an absolute crescendo, which is thanks be to God who gives us the victory. And then it goes, so work hard. Now, I'm not sure that's how I would have ended it. It certainly wouldn't have ended that way at New Wine or Spring Harvest or Soul Survivor. There would have been a fantastic paean of continuing praise, and the choruses would have been sung many times and people would have been called forward. But what Paul does in this passage is to say, look how amazing God is. Look how incredible the work that Jesus has done is. So work hard. And that's the message we're going to look at today. And if I could have the slides, they're up, they're coming up. We're hoping they're going to appear. If not, we'll go without the slides, but so I was going to show, oh yes, they are here, look, that's great. Your labour in the Lord is not in vain. And this is what I'm going to talk about to you today, and I'm going to tell you where I got this subject from as well quite early on. So if you look at someone working away there, okay, work, labour, is hard. It involves us in effort, physical or mental. And these people are actually working on this. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Barcelona and seen the Cathedral Sagrada Familia. I think that's how you say it. But it is amazing. It is amazing. But there are people who sit in a workshop like that working away at a piece of stone. I don't know whether they keep in mind that big picture of what's going up there, but that's work, working for the Lord. Now, that's not the only way. Building a cathedral is not the only way we work for the Lord, as we will discuss. I went off this year, as you know, early August, to Singapore, and I was working there with a group of people in Overseas Missionary Fellowship, the directors there. And I was out there for a week. And as it happened, by the Thursday, I'd done most of the stuff I'd gone to do, but they'd involved me in something else. And they said to me, could you help us prepare and shape up how we go about this challenge that we've got? And what they asked me to do was something that wasn't really in my comfort zone. It was about a whole change of a culture change program. Those of you who know my background as a management consultant, organizational change was what I was working in, but this was cultural change. But I worked at it and I struggled. I worked till 11 o'clock on the Thursday night in the evening, trying to get my head around what they wanted. And I wasn't sure I got it right at all. I really felt that I might have set them in the wrong direction. But as I went to bed, I usually, when I go to bed, I usually just read a psalm, not very thoughtfully, just read a psalm just to set my mind. And I read a psalm, and I read the psalm that Lucy spoke about at the beginning of the service, which said, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And I thought, well, I've been up late, I've been laboring away. If this is not what God wants, I'm wasting my time. And although I don't usually do this on presentations, particularly like that, which was kind of almost like a business presentation, I felt the first slide I should put on it, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain. And I put that on the first slide of the pack. Now, the next morning, I was due to present at 9 o'clock. But at 8:30, we had a time of coming together for prayers. And a wonderful Chinese Christian who's actually been living in North Korea for some of his mission time, which is quite remarkable, he stood up and he shared with us from this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And I nearly fell off my seat because he shared this. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I was just bowled over, so I didn't hear a word he said, so you're not going to get his sermon because I wasn't listening. I just knew that I was going to put out this next slide. I just knew that when I'd fallen asleep, I was unsure whether or not what we'd done was right. And the next morning, I knew I was going to stand up and say, the Lord has told us this is not in vain. This is the right thing to do. Anyway, I got to 9 o'clock and he finished. And I was about to stand up, but actually then the chap who is the overall director, Patrick Fung, he stood up and he said, just before Chris comes up to present to us, here's a piece of work that Chris and three or four others with him had done 10 years ago, 9 years ago, I think it was actually. And he said, I just want to say, this is what we're looking at this morning. And look, we haven't wasted that work. It's not been wasted. What we did then is now coming to fruition. And then I stood up and put this slide up, and it said, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And so you start the meeting, not with a boring business presentation, but with this incredible sense that God has said, this piece of work is blessed by me. None of us had colluded. We didn't know anyone was going to say that. It was just God saying, this work is what I want to happen. So I decided that I would speak this morning about this verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58, and look at what it's telling us as we start a new term of work together. If you know, this church, if you look at our website, if you look at the notice sheet, we're a busy church. We do a lot. Now, August is quite quiet. Now it feels pretty busy again. And it's good for us to ask, are we doing the right things? Are we wasting our time? Are we doing stuff that is for God? Are we doing the work of God? These are questions we could ask. We're going to look at this verse. We're going to think about what it means to be created and saved for good works. Because I can go completely off piece today, I'm going to look at some sayings from some other people, not even in the Bible, to shock you there, wise words, and then think about how we might respond to this message today. But here's the verse. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And we're going to go through this phrase by phrase. And here's the first phrase. Therefore. Therefore. That's the first word. Therefore. Okay. Well, now you think about when you use therefore in the English language. And I know someone's getting this translated into French, so how that works, I don't know. But anyway, you know, if you've got a word therefore, it's pointing back to what's just been said. Therefore means there is a consequence. Because of what? Okay? Why is it true our labor is not in vain? Why is there a therefore? Well, it's for this reason. Because there is victory over death, and all that separates us from God. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go on and we think about the rest of this verse, actually the previous 57 verses of this chapter have told us all about how Jesus has delivered the victory. His victory is achieved and confirmed to us because Jesus was raised from the dead. Right at the beginning of the chapter, Paul, when he's writing, he says, I want to tell you what the most important things in the gospel are. They're that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. And resurrection is absolutely the key issue. In verse 14, it says this, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So actually, if we're sitting here today, the nub of any of us wasting an hour today, which is what we'd be doing if Jesus isn't alive. But if Jesus is alive, then everything we're doing now in receiving his word, in living for him, is actually what makes the most sense that anything could make in this world. Because that is what sorts out everything about the purpose of this life. I was at a funeral again on Thursday. This was of a family friend, and someone said to me, oh, I'm sorry, was it a sad occasion? And I said, well, actually it wasn't. This lady, she was in her late 80s. She was someone that, I'll be honest, I don't think any of you know her here, I thought personally was batty. I called her auntie, and she was an unusual lady. She lived on her own all her life. She hadn't done anything particularly remarkable. She had a wonderful heart for serving people with disabilities, and she spent most of her time either looking after young children or looking after people with disabilities. And then at the end of her life, she was in a home for a couple of years, and then she died. But her life was always one that talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she knew that what she was doing was demonstrating God's love day by day. And so that particular funeral was a brilliant funeral to be at. We sang praise songs. She planned it herself. We had 7 hymns at her funeral. And they were great. And there were some really weighty ones. And there was one, because she always worked with children, that we had, which I haven't sung for years. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. And we sang that at a funeral, and it was wonderful. And this is the nub. This is the nub of why we work hard. This is the nub of the whole Christian faith, that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and is alive again because he was raised from the dead. In the middle of that chapter that we haven't read through all the way, Paul gets really excited. He says, this is what's going to happen to us, by the way. He says, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, that means the body we've got now that falls in the ground dead, is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There are one or two in our fellowship who are reaching the end of their lives now. And I perhaps go and visit them occasionally, and you see someone whose body is wearing out, coming to the end. But that's their natural body. If they have had their sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ, if they know the resurrection of Jesus, living by his Holy Spirit in their lives, actually what I'm looking at is the last bit of the seed that's collapsing away before they will be raised with a body imperishable, spiritual, powerful. That's the hope we have. Now, you've probably given up all hope at this stage, because if I've got a long verse and I've spent all this time on the first word, you might be a bit terrified as we move on to the next phrase. But let me give you some comfort. We're going to go a lot faster with the rest, I promise, okay? Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, and we are brothers and sisters, and part of the work of God is to love one another. Now, we're quite a funny cross-section of people, but we're here together because we love the Lord Jesus, and we're encouraged and commanded to love one another. Then it says, stand firm, let nothing move you. Stand firm, let nothing move you. So we've had this wonderful song of victory. The facts pointed out to us that what we're doing here is just the entry point into the heavenly life that we will go on to live. And then what Paul says is, okay, in the light of that, stand firm. Based upon the solid truth that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he was raised again. That's what we need to hold on to. We need to hold on to his promises throughout Scripture. We need to get to know his word and let it dwell in our hearts. We need to commit ourselves to let his Holy Spirit fill us and fill us all the time. And we live in that power. Stand firm. And let nothing move you. I put this on for my wife. She always likes the thighs of rugby players, she tells me. So let nothing move you. This is the picture. This is the picture of actually not so much just the standing firm, but of someone trying to knock you or batter you or hit you off course. And if you can think about it, if you, those of you that know rugby, if someone says their scrum was immovable, you know, you're talking about incredible power. They could not be shifted. They held their ground, even perhaps right on the line. And we're called to be those who are immovable. So even if temptations come along, peer pressure, persecution, anxieties, worries, fears, any of these things, we still stand firm on the facts of who Jesus is, and because of who he is, who we are in God's eyes. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. I want to deal with this phrase, set this phrase at the end here, actually first. Look, it's the work of the Lord. We often pray and talk about the work we're doing for the Lord. I'd like to challenge us all to try for this term to talk about the work of the Lord. Because actually it's God's work, it's not our work. This is not my church, this is God's church, and I am working in his church. And the same applies to you as well. We are all doing the work of the Lord if we're serving him. We're not working for the Lord as though now next week I'm going to go and work for British Gas or whatever. Okay? So this is about the work of the Lord. But at the same time, the work of the Lord today, in the way that things are set up, doesn't happen unless we do it. It's our hands and our feet that need to be involved in delivering his work. And unless we are willing to do the work of the Lord, will not be happening around where we are. And then, of course, that first phrase, always give yourself fully. Now, I know the mathematicians among us hate the 110% thing. You can't have 110%, but yet we all get it. We all know what it means. And whatever your particular area of service for God, in your daily life, in your work, in your church life, live for God 110%. And that's something I'd just like to leave with you for this term. And then apologies to Wayne, but I couldn't spell the labour, so I had to put the U in, Wayne. I hope that's okay. You'll be able to understand. Joanna can interpret for you, okay? So it's this is labour spelt right. Because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain, okay? And this is the end of it. This is the nub of it. Actually, we're not wasting our time. If we're living in the Lord and working at his work, then that is the best thing that we can do. It won't be useless. It won't be in vain. It won't be ineffective. It'll be fruitful. It'll be good. And it'll be of value for eternity. But there's no magic formula. We're called to work hard at what he asks us to do. We recently did the book of Ecclesiastes. I don't know if that's too small for you to read. I'll read it to you anyway. But it's one of my favorite verses from Ecclesiastes. Let me read it to you. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. It's such a classic Ecclesiastes pragmatic verse. And what does it say? It says the way that we live, we don't necessarily know what bit really makes a difference and what bit doesn't. But we need to work hard in following Jesus without being certain of what the outcome is going to be, without knowing what the results might lead to. We just need to get on with it and let God decide which seed, which good works lead to good outcomes. And I think that's especially true if you think about the way that we want as a church to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community. We should do that in many different ways. We don't know when someone's going to respond and when someone isn't going to respond. But that's what we're called to do. I've got a particular example of that. When Lucy and I worked in Hong Kong, we were there the first 4 years in Christian work. And we spoke dreadful Cantonese. Lucy's was always better than mine, she'll tell me. But both of us were struggling. But one of the things we could do well that was much appreciated was speak English. And so one of the things I was involved with was running, just for about a year, evening classes to teach basic English to a group of men in the community, three of whom happened to be taxi drivers. Because, of course, if you're a taxi driver in Hong Kong, speaking a bit of English is quite helpful, being an international city. And I remember there were a couple of the men there who really seemed interested in the gospel. And we were quite unashamed. We taught English, but we also had someone come in as well who would share with them the gospel in Cantonese. And these men, they were lovely men, got great friends. We socialized, we went to eat in their houses, and so it was great fun. But I looked on, and there was a couple of men, and I thought, wow, those are the guys who are really going to go on with God, I'm sure. I don't know if they did or not, but I can tell you this. We went back about 15 years later, and I met one of the other taxi drivers, not one of those two, who'd been in my class, and I didn't think that he really was engaging either with the English or with the gospel. No idea what happened to his English, but he is now leading groups of other Christians from Hong Kong into China on mission trips. You do not know. When you share the gospel, when you live your life, you don't know who's going to respond. But the message is, we trust God because it's God's work. And when God chooses to bless someone, then they will respond. Shall we, I don't know if you can read that, if you can't look at your scriptures and if you can't maybe bring it from memory, but let's read out together this verse. Let's just say it together as we finish this part. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. Just to clarify again, good works doesn't just mean what you do in church. It means what you do in your life day to day. And I've also been talking to a number of people recently about the balance between salvation and what we do to get into God's presence. And it's clear that salvation is a gift of God, not because of what we do. But it's also clear that once we have come to know Christ, he wants us to live well, to do good things. And I'm just going to literally put up and read 6 verses to you, and that's it. But let God's word speak to you. Jesus said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In everything, set an example by doing what is good. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This one we had a couple of weeks ago in our sermons. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Live such good lives among people that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We are called to do good works, and we're called to do them with all our strength. Okay, some wise words. Finally, Have you seen this one? Thomas Edison. Success is 90% perspiration and 10% inspiration. Do you think that's true? Do you think it's true in the Christian life? Well, actually, I think it's got something going for it. Here we are. This is my version. The successful Christian life is 90% perspiration and 10% inspiration. Think about the verses that Paul speaks to us. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Work at your faith. But in case you're worried, actually, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit would be 100% inspiration, wouldn't it? And the truth is that we need both these. The Christian life is often about sticking at it, about keeping going when we don't feel actually very inspired. But also it's about letting the Holy Spirit come into us and fill us again and re-inspire us with all that God has done for us. Okay, that was one saying. Here's another saying. What do you think of this one? No one ever said on their deathbed, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. Absolutely true, isn't it? We can agree with that one. No one ever did say that. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, even to be the boss of the office, and yet to lose or forfeit their very self? Those are wise words. We need to work daily for Jesus. That's the only thing that really matters work-wise. Here's a Woody Allen one. 80% of success is showing up. Okay, well, I'm going to go this way. 100% of success in the Christian life is living in Jesus. He says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So actually, if we're not in Jesus, what we've promised is 0% success. But I actually think there is something in what Woody Allen said, 80% of success is just showing up. And I want to encourage you to go afterwards to this table where the house groups are being announced again. Because do you know, 80% of the success of house groups is if you show up. And we get into a habit quite often of not showing up, of thinking we can leave it for this week or this fortnight. Actually, if you're not there, others are missing out as well as you. Please make sure that you show up. There is a point to it. And please go out afterwards and talk about the different sorts of groups. We've said house groups, but there's lots of other things that go on during the week. Have a look at all the different groups and see if God is saying to you, for this term, try something new, do something different, work for me. Last one. This one I think we all know. All I can find out is it comes, I think, from an American newspaper in 1921. That's what I could find out. But we know the phrase, walk the talk. And this surely is right on. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. James said, do not merely listen to the sermon and the Bible reading and the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Paul said, different version to the one I showed earlier, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. It's a lovely thought that we're masterpieces that God is doing. I think we're still work in progress, all of us. He's still doing the painting job, but we will be a masterpiece. We have been created anew in Christ Jesus, but not just so that we can sit back and think, oh, isn't it nice I'm saved, but so that we can move forward and we can do the good things he has planned for us to do. Walk the talk. As we finish, we're going to sing a song in a moment, actually, which is a brilliant song. It's a real kind of zippy one. It's from 1982, so it's almost antediluvian for those of you who like the old ones. But it's a great song. I'm going to serve the purpose of God in my generation. And at different times in my life, that's been a really significant song. And I want you to think about that. Is that what you're willing to say today? Yes, in your generation, right now, you're going to serve the purpose of God. As we sing that song, please use it to rededicate yourself to follow Jesus. As you sing the words, think whether they're the words that you really mean. And if they are, sing them with real power as you sing. As we leave, let's rejoice in the victory of God. Let's rejoice in his victory, because this working hard is only because of the wonderful hope that lies ahead. And let's do some things different next week. I had a great boss when I worked at Standard Chartered Bank, and she always would say, after we'd spent sort of a whole period of time with great big ideas and so on, she'd say, what will you do differently on Monday? And that's a really good question. And for this sermon, I'll say to you, what will you do differently next week as a result of being here today? Maybe you need to fix some things. Maybe you need to seek forgiveness or forgive someone, to make amends or make friends, to make a gift, visit a person, change a habit. And in all these, pray for the Holy Spirit's empowering, for the life of Christ to live in you and through you so that you bear fruit. Maybe you need to put yourself in a place where you will grow. Yes, as church leaders, we have a certain responsibility for the spiritual life of the church. But you also, as a believing Christian, have responsibility for growing. Don't just sit still. Maybe you join a house group or another midweek activity. Maybe you take on some new responsibility. Could you serve God in a different way? We have an urgent need for a couple more teachers to join Megarex. We shared that this morning. Megarex has got two teachers and was it 13 children? It sounds a bit daunting. You'll promise we'll give you some training and support. But is God calling you to work with that age group? Or maybe you could give up a Friday evening and come to TFT. Or come together on a Sunday afternoon. What is it that God might be saying to you that you could do to work for him? We're going to go straight into the song now, which is, I'm going to serve the purpose of God in my generation. As the band come up, I'm just going to pray. There'll be a moment's silence, and then I'll pray, and then we'll just go straight into the song. And please join me in standing to sing it with all your heart. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you will come upon each one of us now, and that you will search our hearts. I pray that you will give us a thrill in the victory that is ours through the Lord Jesus' resurrection. I pray that we may hold on to this as where we are going, our hope for the future. Why what we do for you is not in vain. I pray, Lord, that you will indeed hold us firm and immovable, but that you will help us to work with all our body, mind, and strength to serve you. Lord, may we indeed recognize the work is your work. Amen.